introduce Luke. Now, most of you will know that Luke has been appointed as a curate at St. John's in Chatham, which is linked to our parish at Pippin Jim's. So, welcome, Luke. And this is the first opportunity you had to wow us with God's word. What an awesome privilege. Allow me to pray for you before you speak. Heavenly Father, thank you for Luke's journey. Thank you for bringing him to us now. Thank you, Lord, that Luke and Becky and the girls are settling in well. And we ask you now, Lord, that you would anoint him for your purpose this afternoon in speaking to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh man, thank you so much, Steve. I must say before I begin, I'm really glad that it's not my responsibility to wow, but that God's word wows for itself. It's just a privilege to be able to share some thoughts from Psalm 33 with you this afternoon. It really is a joy to be able to share. Just to think my mum didn't believe her when I told her that I was going to be on Songs of Praise this afternoon, but see, I told you so. In all seriousness, though, as my first opportunity to kind of speak publicly here at Pippin Jim's, just wanted to say a huge thank you. Thank you for the way that we've been welcomed as a family, for the way that we've been prayed for, we've been prayed in, and continue to be prayed for, and for the way that you as a church community are praying for Martin and Andrew and myself as we kind of negotiate what it is to learn to be a team of servants and leaders here and at St. John's as well in this new season. In chatting to Steve in preparation for this service, he felt that it would be a good opportunity for me to share a little bit about myself and my journey. And I was also given free rein in terms of Bible passage. I'm not sure whether it's ever a good idea to give a preacher free rein, but we're about to find out. So I'm Luke. I'm married to Becky, who you've met, who introduced our last hymn. And we've got two daughters, Mary and Caris. One at primary school and one at secondary school. I was born in the UK, pretty much adopted from birth, and when I was 6 months old, after a short time in South Wales, where my parents were originally from, we moved to Holland. 18 months later, we moved to Botswana in Southern Africa, and that's where I lived until I was 14, and we moved back to the UK to Tunbridge Wells. That's where Becky and I met and where we lived until almost 6 years ago, when Becky, myself, and just Caris at the time moved to Cambridge for me to train for ordination at Ridley Hall. After 3 years in Cambridge, we spent just over 2.5 years at Christchurch Beckenham, and now we're very excited to be here in Chatham and expectant that God has good things in store for his church. The wider community of Walderslade, the community that we're called to serve in, Chatham and Medway as a whole. We really do sense that God is on the move, and it's a privilege to be part of this journey. I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 years old, and even through my failure and lack of faithfulness, I can testify to God's faithfulness, and that's a theme that comes through in Psalm 33. In fact, this afternoon I was actually tempted to share from John chapter 10. Firstly, because John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly." That's my favourite verse in the whole of Scripture. But also, not just because of that one verse, but because Jesus' description of himself as the Good Shepherd is such a helpful picture for how I've known and continue to know him, gently leading, guiding and directing me, drawing me back on track, even in those times that I go astray. I was tempted to share from Isaiah 49. When I was about 16 years old, God very clearly spoke to me through verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 49, calling me back to himself at a time when teenage angst, a theme that obviously is happens a lot in our family. Hearing from Becky, I didn't know she was going to talk about her own teenage angst. So look forward to what our children are going to go through in a few years. God called me back to himself at a time when really teenage angst and a desire to fit in with the crowd was really pulling me away from living wholeheartedly for God. I don't blame you if you don't know Isaiah 49 off by heart, but I'm sure you'll hear me talk about it more in the future. Maybe you could look it up after this service if you're really intrigued. Isaiah 49 verses 15 and 16. But this afternoon, I want to share a few brief thoughts from Psalm 33 that was so beautifully read to us. Until a few minutes ago, I thought that David Suchet was my favourite Bible reader. I think there's a new contender. So as a family, as you know, we're entering a new season. But in reality, as a church family, we're also entering a new season. And as a whole society, we're on the brink of something new, of discovering a new way of being. Woven together in this wonderful psalm of praise, there are many themes that I pray will characterize this new season for me. I want to offer three of them to you this afternoon as attitudes to intentionally be adopted as we respond to the living God. First of all, let's respond to God with joy. The psalm begins, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous." Sometimes righteous can seem like a bit of a stuffy word, you know, sort of self-righteousness is something that's seen as being negative. But actually, righteousness in a biblical context is a beautiful word. Through the lens of the cross, we might say, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you who've been brought into right relationship with God and with others through Jesus Christ." Righteousness, somewhere at its heart, is about being in right relationship with God, and as a result, right relationship with other people. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. This isn't primarily, I don't think, about singing songs or hymns with a smile on our face. Although, interestingly, it's interesting when we sing with a smile, it brightens the tone of our voice. But this is about singing out of an overflow of a whole life of joy. Just this past week, I've been challenged afresh by the attitude of the people of God in their journey between Egypt and the Promised Land. Each of their major failures, it's been pointed out, begins with an attitude of heart that's opposite to the attitude of joy. The people complained about hardship. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses. They spoke against God and against Moses. A lack of joy. We read it in the Old Testament and it sounds ridiculous. God rescues. God supernaturally provides. God guides and God protects. And the people grumble, moan and argue. Sounds ridiculous when we read it in black and white, but all too often I don't recognize these tendencies in myself. In this new season, I choose to respond to God with joy. Not necessarily because I've got everything that I want or because life is easy, but because choosing joy gives God's people strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Choosing joy because God has rescued. Because God has saved, and we'll be thinking so much about that over this next week, over Holy Week. Choosing joy because God protects, and because God provides, and because God guides. Let's choose a season of joy. Secondly, the psalmist encourages us to respond to God with a skillful new song. Again, we could think that this is maybe just a message for our wonderful team of musicians and worship leaders. As a musician who loves leading people in praise and worship, this verse is really helpful in combating that kind of attitude that so often creeps into our thinking in church, that will do attitude. God requires us, deserves that we would play skillfully. But it's about so much more than singing and writing new songs. What does it look like for our whole lives to be a skillful song to the Lord? Not just repeating familiar life refrains because that's what we've always done, but finding new and fresh ways to express and respond to God's goodness. If the mercies of God are new every morning, which I believe they are, surely we've daily got new things to say about the goodness of God. If the love of God is endless, then we can constantly be drawn into new depths, into fresh encounter. And from those depths can well up within us a new song, a fresh expression, a skillfully and creatively lived life. God is calling us into dynamic relationship with Him, not static. I've spoken to so many people beyond the walls of the church and even within the church who tell me that church is boring. It's one of the refrains that I heard quite a lot when I worked as a youth worker. I'm sure that Pip and Jim's is the exception, but the reality is that I've had plenty of experience within churches that sadly confirms that complaint. Can I suggest that if people are finding church boring, possibly our services have come to reflect more of us than they reflect of the living God who flung the stars into space, who created and sustains the beautiful diversity of the cosmos. In this new season, let's commit to skillfully singing a new song to God, new ways to communicate and live out timeless truths, creative and skillful ways to express new mercies and fresh revelation. And finally, picking up on verse 20 of this psalm, let's respond to God by waiting in hope. We often make the mistake of thinking of waiting as a passive state. But Jesus presents a very different approach to waiting, one that is active and one that is expectant. The parable of the talents that Jesus tells presents a contrast between these two approaches to waiting. The servant who plays it safe buries what he has, waiting for time to pass by. No, nothing changes. But the contrast is the servants who act, who take risk, who invest. Those servants are invited to share in their master's happiness. At the moment, we find ourselves in a season of waiting, till we can physically be together, share hospitality together, hug, go on holiday. Down the road at St. John's, we're waiting until we have a functioning toilet and a functioning sink. We're waiting. The whole world is waiting for a new pattern of life to emerge. But when we wait in hope on the Lord, then that waiting is active and purposeful, not just twiddling our thumbs and watching the clock. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a fresh move of God in your life, in your family, on your street, in this town, across this nation. Waiting in hope means actively preparing for a new season now, sowing seeds that will be harvested later, possibly not even by us. If you wait for the season to change, it may be too late to sow. So let's learn what it means to wait actively, with the lamps burning bright, waiting in hope for the Lord. And so on this Palm Sunday, a day when we think about how we respond to God, I pray that like many before us, we would be people who respond to God with joy, who respond to God with a skillful new song of our lives, and who respond to God in hope-filled waiting. So Lord, may your unfailing love rest upon us, even as we put our hope in you. Amen.